I might start the meeting if everyone's ready. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land on which we meet and pay our respect to elders both past and present. Welcome to today's meeting of the Camden Local Planning Panel meeting. My name is Michael Nanty. I'm the chairperson of today's meeting. The other panel members are on my left, Sue Francis, on my immediate right, Marilyn Taylor, and then on my far right, Dominic Pisano. It's our role to determine the development applications that are on the panel's agenda today. We'll either do that by approval, refusal, or in exceptional circumstances, deferral of the application. For the record, each of the panel members has familiarised themselves with the site. We've inspected the sites this morning. We've been provided with the Council Officer's Assessment Report and attachments. In terms of procedures for presentations to the panel today, I'll call those speaking against the recommendations first. Each of those speakers will have 4 minutes to present to the panel. That time may be extended at the discretion of the panel. The panel members may ask you questions after you finish your presentation. I'll then call for representations from the applicant's representatives. The applicant's representatives will be given 15 minutes in total. In accordance with Council's operational procedures, the meeting is being audio recorded by Council staff for publication on Council's website. No other recording by video camera, still camera or other electronic device capable of recording speech will be permitted without the approval of the panel. Before I call the first item, can I ask panel members to declare any conflicts of interest?
Sue Francis, no conflict.
Marilyn Taylor, no conflict.
Dominic Pisano, no conflict.
And I have no conflict as well. I'll now call the first item. First item is development application 2022/246, establishment of a sealed hard stand area with associated stormwater drainage for storage and stacking of containers and equipment at the Glenlea Intermodal Development site at Spring Farm. The Council Officer's recommendation is for approval subject to conditions. I don't have anyone listed on my list to address the panel, either opposing or supporting the recommendation, but if there's anyone in the audience that wishes to address us, then please let me know now. Second item on the panel's agenda is construction of a new bin room, front entry awning and wall signage at 45 Oxley Street, Camden. The Council Officer's recommendation is for approval subject to conditions. I have one person listed to address the panel against the recommendation, David Nethercote. David, would you like to come up to the microphone, please?
Thank you for the opportunity to address the panel. December is a month characterised in Camden by at least two things, the proliferation of Christmas trees and associated decorations on the one hand, and a bundle of often contentious DAs requiring submissions from the community, and in this case of addressing a planning panel hearing at the same time. Suspicious minds may see this pattern not as a coincidence so much as a strategy. To allay these concerns, I would suggest that matters such as these have a final date or closing date of 30 November, allowing communities to occupy themselves with celebratory and family matters rather than contested issues. After all, DA exhibitions and public panels such as this are created to allow space for different views to be aired. It becomes something of a contradiction, therefore, to add extra burden at a time when communities are already stretched. I have spoken to council about this, and there seems to be no reason for periods, issues to lie fallow for many months and then suddenly appear in December. It is noted that the design for 45 Oxley Street now shows an endeavour to respond positively to criticisms of their earlier application by reducing the size of the signage, but it is still intrusive and I'm not sure what advantage there is by loudly proclaiming the service. Time was when dentists like doctors quietly announced the practice clearly but modestly. One thinks of the discreet brass plaque. It is unlikely that shoppers keen to finish their shopping at Woolworths will spontaneously opt in for a quick clean or filling. In fact, too much concentration on matters dental can be quite unsettling. The other matter of concern is the colour, a rather dull flat grey. This is currently very fashionable and in some areas would indicate how up-to-date and fashionable the premises are, but not here. Heritage colours in Camden's conservation area must reflect and enhance its history and be in keeping with a town based around sandstone and brick. Lighter and warmer earthy colours with accents picked out in tones of red oxide and Brunswick green are very traditional. The panel could suggest something more in keeping with the surrounds to allow the building to settle in more agreeably with its surrounds. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, David. Just wait there. There may be some questions from the panel members.
No, thank you.
You mentioned two colours. One was Brunswick green. What was the other colour you mentioned?
The exact description, red oxide.
Red oxide.
Yeah.
And are there any examples of those two colours in the buildings that are currently in John Street or Camden Town Centre?
Yeah, well,
that you can point out?
The church, for instance. A lot of the colours are around creams, and Camden Park Estate is a very good example of heritage colours. Bearing in mind that heritage can vary, so quite a big heritage colour in Melbourne does have a blue-grey quality because that reflects the stones there, but Sydney, and particularly here, is very much a sandstone area, plus bricks.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, David.
Okay, thank you.
Next item on the panel's agenda is development application 2021/1809 for partial demolition of a heritage item and construction of an ancillary building for use as a pottery studio at 531 Capital B, Cobbetty Road, Cobbetty. The council officer's recommendation is for approval subject to conditions. I don't have anyone listed to address the panel either for or against the recommendation, but if there's anyone in the audience that wishes to address the panel, please let me know. The next item on the panel's agenda is development application 2021/1561, which is application for alterations to ground floor building and second storey addition to commercial premises at 60 John Street, Camden. The council officer's recommendation is for approval subject to conditions. I have three speakers against the recommendation and four for the recommendation. I'll call the first speaker against the recommendation is Fletcher Joss.
My name is Fletcher Joss and I live in South Camden.
I regularly visit and shop in Camden and have known the location for over 35 years. Not necessarily speaking against, it's just that there are only two options, for or against, and I'm sort of in the middle, so I'll ask you to keep that in mind. I ask you to note the following. The footpath, the main entrance to the building is rotated to front onto the car park entry. Footpath is 1,250 mm wide. There is no place for passing or turning on the footpath according to the appropriate standard. The minimum width for passing is 1.8 metres. Both ends of the footpath are obstructed. The John Street end has a stop sign. The other end has a bollard and street light. There is a recommendation in the officer's report to include the stop sign removal in the consent conditions, but that has not happened. According to the Ausroads Guides for Road Design, 6A, Ausroads on page 26, the clear width of 1.5 metres is required for a wheelchair and pram to pass, while the minimum suggested width for general low-volume pedestrian paths is 1.2 metres, the width is noted as inadequate for commercial or shopping environments. The recommended minimum width for commercial and shopping environments is 2.4 metres. It's also important that the edges of the paths do not have drop-offs that may cause a pedestrian to slip or trip or cause a wheelchair to overturn, such as along the back of a curb. This consideration is critical where minimum path widths are used. In addition, any obstruction within the path should be highlighted to reduce the likelihood that pedestrians will collide with it and have any aspects removed that could cause users to be snagged by it. The access road here has been labelled as an inadequate pedestrian path in the 2014 multi-storey car park study by Camden Council. This is clearly more consideration is required, perhaps a rework of the car park entrance. There is scope for a narrow access road, a wider footpath, no drop at the edge, and a bit of greenery. And I think those changes could be easily added to the deferred consent conditions without really affecting the development at all, but addressing long-standing problem in that area. The parking is the other thing I'd like you to consider. The recent parking study published in Council CA Tracker for the credit union development suggests that the only unrestricted parking spaces within 400 metres are at Broughton Street, up the top of the hill. All the other parking spaces in Central Camden are restricted. Central Camden is designed well before the automobile. It's therefore likely to have a significant historical parking space deficiency. The parking space deficiency means people using the building will likely park in the restricted areas and either overstay the limits or move about. Previously, the building was a shop. There was 2 to 3 staff and a small number of customers. It's likely the 9 allocated spaces were never used. This development is an office, the requirement of 17 spaces. Assuming a shopping time of an hour, just an arbitrary number, and the change in use removes around about 120 shoppers from Camden, because you've got people parking there all day rather than moving every now and again. What I'm asking is that you consider whether parking space requirements actually exist in the area and whether a decrease in shopping car spaces is desirable or perhaps some other way of addressing it, like removing restrictions in some of the car parks so there is a long-term parking. That's all I've got to say. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Fletcher. Just before you leave, there might be some questions from the panel members.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
I've just got a question. You mentioned landscaping as a potential way of improving the amenity there in the footpath. Can you give us an idea of what you're thinking about there?
Okay. Well, the footpath is quite narrow and quite unsettled, as you saw this morning. If you look at the car park, it's it's wide enough for two cars to pass. You could restrict it so that it's a single entry and have one entrance to the car park in, one entrance to the car park out. You could change it so that the footpath is actually at the street level so there's no drop-off there. You could make it some sort of shared area, a bit wider, perhaps something to discourage cars, the odd tree, odd bush or something like that, just a bit of landscaping in the area. Similar, but not necessarily the same as what's been done in Larkin Place, which isn't perhaps a good example, but it gives you an idea of how they've addressed the pedestrian aspect to it. But some greenery would be nice. Mm-hmm. It would also, I think, improve the building itself, especially as it presents as a solid wall. It would be nice if it wasn't quite like that.
And you mentioned a parking study. Can you just give me the reference to that again?
Yes, certainly. The parking study, it's on Council's DA tracker. It's for DA 2022/959/1. And it's centred on the credit union in One View Street, which is a bit further down. but I suspect there are no other unrestricted areas, perhaps with the exception of Onslow Park.
Right. So the parking study that you're referring to was one lodged with a DA for another site, not a council.
That's correct. Yes.
Right. Thank you. David Nethercote, would you like to come up again, please, David?
Thank you again for this opportunity to address the panel. I'm speaking in this address on behalf of the Camden Residents Action Group, known as CRAG. The points about Oxley Street were fairly modest. 60 John is another matter entirely. John Street is the street in Camden Town and the Heritage Conservation Area. It crosses with Argyle at the very geographical centre and forms the axis of the town leading up to St John's, situated to be the spiritual centre connecting the town with the Camden Park Estate, still the home of the MacArthur descendants. These are not haphazard, arbitrary accidents. They are planned to reflect the profound connections of town, church and founders of Camden. It is the design of an integrated village. Now, like mischievous choir boys in the designers of 60 John Street seem to want to poke their tongue out at the church, the town and its heritage. Certainly what is currently on the site is an eyesore that is within the view lines of heritage listed items including St John's and the John Street cottages, both early recognised in the Register of the National Estate. This opportunity in the HCA should not be squandered. The community expects an evidence-based and analytical approach when dealing with such a highly valued area intrinsic to Camden's identity. There seems to be no thought given to the design in context criteria set out by New South Wales Heritage for infill development, nor is there any reasonable explanation as to how the proposal transitions to the John Street cottages or enhances the important and deliberately planned view line to the church. We acknowledge the removal of the large panels of dark-coloured steel cladding. They should never have been proposed and indicate that the design never addressed how the new build can possibly contribute to and enhance the HCA as required by DCP and Camden Town Urban Design Framework. Far from embracing the town's renowned unique character, the design drivers seem to be maximising floor space, keeping the original roof as a floor, which increases the height exceedance. It is not appropriate that this building should be higher and much bulkier than original town buildings, including the nearby Victorian building on the main corner with Argyle Street, or that it dwarfs the John Street cottages. The proposed scale maximises built form on the site with no curtilage and no softening landscape. The footpath to the council car park, although it may have been widened slightly, remains extremely narrow when it should be widened further to complement the characteristic spaciousness of the country town. The building is imposingly urban in character, not rural, not fine-grained and not the expected human scale. It could be so much better. Communities' view are well known and expressed in legislation of the HCA and council policy. The community expects more than lip service on heritage conservation. It expects explanation, not assertions, as to how the proposal honours and complies with the strategy of heritage protection and enhancement expressed in the local strategic planning statement, the LEP and DCP provisions. Sadly, we repeatedly see documentation simply supporting a developer's preferred outcome. That this DA improves on the last is positive, that it falls short of satisfactory remains a problem. I understand that council is obliged to exhibit DAs regardless of their influence. They are not, however, obliged to recommend in favour. please send this back to the drawing board. Thank you.
Thank you. Before you leave, there might be some questions.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I've just got a question, David. I just want to understand the basis of your objection. Is it about the height, or is it about the design and materials, or is it about both?
It's about both.
So the
design doesn't... It drops out. It doesn't flow easily into the John Street cottages, and there should be some kind of sense of transition.
It should be a single-storey building in Crags View.
Yeah.
Under no circumstances would a two-storey building be acceptable.
Well, I can't say no, but it would be very unusual circumstances where that might be satisfactory.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joe O'Brien, on behalf of Camden Historical Society.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak today on behalf of Camden Historical Society. John and Argyle Streets are the heart of historic Camden, with this side of John Street primarily consisting of heritage cottages, leading from a heritage building on the corner to the iconic St John's Church and its heritage precinct. This area is an important transition zone, with the commercial development historically limited to a corner building on Argyle Street, with very limited development up the side streets, which were primarily cottages. Unfortunately, there has already been unsympathetic development which has detracted from this important local heritage, including some regrettable constructions, and so we consider it vital that every new build be carefully considered. We would like to see the former Wanderlight site reused, and we support a sympathetic redevelopment of this non-heritage building. However, we would have expected to see a lower scale and less bulky construction, particularly one which did not exceed the legislated height limit of 7 metres in the Camden Heritage Conservation Area. This should have been easily achievable for a flat-roofed building. A lower height would have preserved the dominance of surrounding heritage buildings, including 110 Argyle on the corner of Argyle and John Streets, and the nearby Whiteman's Building. The proposed two stories block the views between a number of heritage buildings and locations, including from St John's Precinct. A single-storey pitched roofed building with more character and articulation and less bulk would have been a preferable option and would have provided a better transition to the John Street cottages. Therefore, we remain opposed to this proposal and ask the panel to reject this DA. We do acknowledge and appreciate the changes that have been made since exhibition, including the removal of the dark metal cladding panels and the reduction in height. We support the recommended conditions of increased articulation, layering and detailing, and the careful selection of compatible bricks, which are sympathetic to the local heritage, with light, warm and earthy colours. We remain concerned, though, about the appearance of the second storey, particularly the north and east facades, which are currently blank brick walls. If the panel do choose to approve the building, we ask for an additional condition to increase the articulation and to provide some detail to these facades. The back eastern second storey wall is particularly visible, including from the state-listed St John's Precinct. There are already disappointing infill buildings with non-sympathetic, almost blank walls in this area, and it would be a shame to add another blank back wall which would join these into a prominent line of featureless facades. Another adaptation which would improve both the look and make a less abrupt transition to the heritage cottages would be a colonnade or veranda along the car park entrance, right-hand southern side. This would also improve pedestrian access in the area. We also hope the development will be used primarily for retail, as it was when it was Wanderlight, a successful retail business which attracted customers to the Camden town centre. Loss of retail facilities is detrimental to the future of Camden as a thriving town and as a heritage tourism destination. Replacement of retail space with increased office space would also reduce the visitor parking available in nearby key shopping area car parks. It is very unlikely workers will access this building via public transport, which is limited in Camden. We ask that the development as presented be rejected. However, if you choose to approve this development, please consider adding the suggested conditions to reduce the heritage impact of the southern and eastern facades of the building. Thank you for hearing our concerns today.
Thank you, Joe. Any questions from the panel members?
Thank you.
Yep. Dominic?
Sorry, you said about I know you're against the two levels. You would prefer to keep it at one level?
I think a two-storey building could be built on that site and be within the 7-metre limit. I think it does create rather an abrupt transition to the heritage cottage across the laneway, but it would be possible. But as it presents, it's quite a stark straight up.
Yeah, and you also mentioned about the issue with the blank back wall.
Yes.
So what would you sort of...
I know that there'd be issues with overlooking, perhaps with verandas and things, but something that wasn't quite a blank wall. On one of the photo montages, as you look at it, there's basically three blank walls lined up where you should be able to see the back of the heritage buildings.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. No further questions. Thank you. Okay, I've got now, for the recommendation, I've got four people listed to address the panel. Adam, Dean, Joanne and Shane. Is there one particular person who's going to address the panel, or two people? Who's first? Joanne? Yeah. Okay, yeah, both come up, yeah.
Is that on, is it? Yes? Yep. Well, we've listened to the comments that have been made, and I think it's important for us to sort of state the approach that we took was we are aware that it is in a transition between the smaller cottages to John Street and the more sort of commercial zoning, and it does abut other two-storey buildings. We also looked at the immediate area and the height of various buildings. I know that 110 Argyle Street was mentioned, which is actually my office. And because the grade of the street grades up, you have a gradual sort of incline. The overall height of the building that we have proposed on the site is actually shorter than that building on the corner, but it sits at a different RL level. The view to the transition in the zoning was that the actual laneway serves as a great transition in terms of bulk and scale, and transitioning from a two-storey sort of form down to a more single-storey form. It's also worth noting that behind the John Street cottages there are two-storey buildings which do also exceed the height. And that was part of the cues that we took, as well as there is another building to the rear along the laneway where there is a cafe there that is actually taller as well. So we've tried to work in with a height, and being alterations and additions, we are aware of the large structure that's already there inside, which limits in some ways what we've done, and we have actually worked in discussion with council to try and reduce that bulk and scale and the height as much as possible. The other sort of big thing that jumped out in the comments was to do with the pedestrian footpath, and we quite like the idea of the shared zone coming into the car park. One of the big objectives for us was to create passive surveillance on that corner that at the moment the Wonderlight building doesn't present. So by having retail commercial facilities that look into the car park, it does create a great level of passive surveillance, but the boundary line of this property actually consumes most of that existing what is perceived to be a public footpath. And I think the actual space that's left between the boundary and the curb is only about 400 millimetres. So we took the view that because we are looking to maintain the footprint of the building and not build to those edges, we are providing a form of benefit that maintains a pedestrian pathway there. And then when we step into our building, we can use that space, which is within our boundary line, to provide accessible entry points. And the net benefit is that we are maintaining a pedestrian access along that site that could potentially be continued to the adjoining sites that are undeveloped at this stage, and provides a nice treatment to the corner of the building, and also a transition between the more traditional John Street cottages and the building that we have there. In terms of the height, extremely hard with the existing structure to actually bring something in at 7 metres that would actually be functional. And our view was that a single-storey building in this location adjacent to a two-storey building would actually look quite odd. So we have worked to keep that building as low as possible, and we even explored sort of how flat can we make a flat roof to bring it down as much as possible. And we even sort of explored not having a parapet and detail and articulation to bring down the perception of height from the little upturns in the parapet. But it actually presented a lot flatter. We're quite happy with the concept of two-tone brick and working in further articulation. And that's been a sort of a conversation backwards and forwards with council. The approach was not to try and replicate heritage, but to reference something that had had the concept of the brickwork in there, that had the references, and the references are in the document of what we've sort of looked at, to try and sort of tie in without creating fake heritage. I think that sort of covers the main things that I had to sort of comment on there from the, also from the people who have spoken earlier.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing I've got to say is that we've read the report and the draft conditions prepared by Council's planner. We're comfortable with the recommendation and the content of the draft conditions. So we've got nothing further to add unless the panel has any questions. One other thing that I will reference, though, is that eastern elevation that was the blank wall of that eastern elevation, the first floor. We had, when we had a site visit in terms of the view lines from various spots around Camden, we did talk about having a recessed brick panelling with some kind of decorative panel if that improves that elevation. And that was something that was discussed on site.
Okay, questions from the panel?
No, thank you.
Yeah. Yep, Dominic.
Just to clarify, because I know there's been some talk from the previous speakers about the access of the footpath, and you just mentioned something there about where the boundary sits.
It shows us throughout the document. The actual existing face of the Wonderlite building is where the proposed building goes to, because we're looking to change the brick type so we're not sort of left with a rendered building, but we're not looking to extend the building forward. So that footpath is, I think it's something like 1250 millimetres wide. About 750 of that is actually within the boundary line of the property. So there isn't actually a footpath along there if we were to build to the boundary line of the property. So that was part of the reasoning. The main reason was actually the internal structure for working with. But there's no benefit in us pulling the building forward and then creating an awkward sort of interface with the existing laneway. I mean, if there were changes to the road and the car park, then that might have been something that we explored, but we felt it was appropriate to leave the building where it is and maintain a form of pedestrian access, albeit across largely the property itself.
A couple of questions, Joanne. You referred to the protruded brickwork on the rear boundary. There's some notations on the architectural plans that refer to protruded brickwork of 30 millimetres. Is that what you're talking about, or
recessed.
Something else?
No, recessed. Recessed.
Yeah, okay. It says protruded on the architectural plans, but it's actually recessed, is it?
So perhaps the main brick was protruded and the others are recessed, the squares are recessed.
Mm, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'll provide that clarification. It's the opposite of protruding. It should be recessed slightly.
Yeah, okay. So the 750 millimetres of the footpath that's within the development site, is there any proposal to upgrade that, the pavement?
Yes, the intention was that the Camden Main Street upgrade comes to a building just near here, and there's a driveway and it kind of stops and it's a bluestone paving. The desire and intention was to actually have that extend and wrap around to that development, so it ties it back into the main street. I'm not sure why the main street upgrade stopped at sort of halfway up that street, but to me that would be a great outcome. The street tree is preserved. We've actually got more space around it than what's there at the moment, and it's a benefit to the actual development to have that upgrade and make it feel like part of the main street rather than the building sort of halfway up the street that's near a car park and nothing else. So, yeah, the desire and intention would be to actually upgrade that to match the main street.
As part of this application, is that the intention?
I think we've actually just nominated that we're upgrading the main street. We haven't actually formalised what it was, because that was going to be a discussion with council as to what those upgrades would look like. I'm aware there are staged plans to upgrade the main street, but I'm not sure what the time frame of that is. So we were certainly open to that, but I don't think we've actually specifically nominated products, although we've looked at sort of the levels and grades to make sure they work.
Yeah. Okay. And is there a reason why, as I understand it, the proposal is to remove the external layer of brickwork from the existing building and then replace it with new bricks?
Correct.
Could you just explain the reason why that's the proposal?
The blonde brick is very ugly. If we were to retain it and then skin above it, we either have to match that or render it. And the feeling was that a rendered building on that corner would be very strong and very dominant and feel very new, whereas we were going for a solid brick building that you can see the texture and colour of the brick, and that brings in the earthy tones, which we felt allowed for the building to sit more comfortably. And it's a little bit sort of post-war in sort of references to architecture and a little bit of parapet, a little bit of corbelling to it, but not fussy as well, because the other thought was that if it was overly embellished, it starts to draw too much attention to it. And the two smaller new builds that are behind the single-storey cottages on 60 John Street have a bit more of an agricultural reference. And that's originally where that metal came in, where we were looking at creating contrast with brick and metal to create variation that clearly stated this building was not original in character, but had sort of agricultural references. That wasn't sort of well supported. I think it was initially, but then it was in further investigation. It was like, no, we prefer all brick. And we were really at a point in discussion of what colour of brick and how much articulation and brickwork detailing we bring in. And the suggestion at this stage that came from us was to increase the corbelling to the top of the building, increase the detailing around the windows and the door entries if possible, and look at two-tone brick. And that's where we're able to bring in things like a barrel blue sort of tone, which is a more sort of a bluestone colour brick with a more earthy colour. But the final colours were really around getting samples and sample boards and things like that.
And you would have seen the deferred commencement condition recommended by the council officers. Is that your understanding of what the deferred commencement condition is aimed at?
That's correct, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions arising?
No, thank you.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Well, that's the final item on today's agenda. The panel will now adjourn and discuss our findings in private. The panel's minutes, including the determination of each of the applications, will be published on the council's website in the next couple of days, 2 days. And the notices of determination will be issued by council officers in due course after that. So thank you very much, everyone, for attending and presenting to the panel. Have a safe rest of the day. Thank you.